ladies and gentlemen, live from E3, it's Dot Radar Special Edition.
It doesn't matter. You're going to hear it cuts ins and outs. If you're listening to this podcast, thank you. And this is going to be the last one from E3. The next one you'll hear will be on Friday because it's way too hard. You're not listening. Nobody's coming to the site. Too much work for too much pain for no benefit whatsoever. Too true. I'm so fucking depressed. This equipment sucks and I can't get a podcast to work. And if you can sit through all this stuff, you'll get some pretty cool E3 information. Because today, I think we saw the coolest games ever.
It's a good day.
It's a good day. Like, even briefly, I played Split Second. Fucking awesome.
It looked cool. Like that, you went around the corner, and part of the racetrack was a plane crashing onto the racetrack at you.
Wow. On a runway, and a plane's crashing in between the cars.
Well, like the bit at the end of Dead Air, when the plane comes crashing in on the runway.
Except you can see it coming, but it's part of the racetrack. You can't leave. Sit there and figure out a way around the crashing plane. But
by the way, before we start, the voices in the room.
Ah, I'm Chris Francista.
I'm Michael Raparez, PlayStation editor.
Brett Elson, Nintendo man.
Joseph McNeely, senior editor.
All a part of
video
Games Radar.
Producer extraordinaire.
So, all a part of Games Radar. So Split Second, I think it is. You do play other players, pole position, but you kind of break the track.
Yeah.
And depending on how smooth you drive, you build up this meter where you can execute all these environmental attacks, which changes the entire track or can kill people. If you earn enough skill, whatever that meter's called, it did not get a walkthrough for the person who knew what they were doing. You can execute a button when you see a player in the front drive by a gas tanker, and you can detonate it in his face as he drives by. No throwing shells, no lightning bolts.
You can't kick him off the track with a big boot?
No. No fucking...
It seemed kind of like what Full Auto was promising.
Yeah.
Kind of just a complete mayhem of blowing shit up constantly.
Yes, but you have to I think the explosions are so big that they can happen way ahead of you. By the time you get there, you're still watching debris fly and your opponent spin out.
It looked, graphics looked really good. It was running kind of chuggy, but it's obviously not.
And I say that only having played Blur, which love PGR. Geometry Wars, even though it doesn't matter. Blur is stupid.
Is it?
Blur is, compared to Split Second, a game developed by Disney. It's ugly. It's uglier than that. Project Gotham is a great driving experience.
Yeah.
This is kart race. This is
Blur?
Kart race. Yeah. Blur is straight up kart race. And the best thing it has about it is that it has a shield function. So whenever anybody's throwing anything at you, you have a split second to activate a shield, which is just the default thing on your car.
I got confused for a second because you used Split Second to talk about Blur.
Oh, goodness. You know what? We should move on from that.
Yeah.
I think we should take it into Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, we sat in EA demos today, and we saw Dragon Age Origins first, which
really looked ugly after you see Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
I don't know what was going on.
I don't know what to say about Dragon Age yet.
Dragon Age has bigger environments, but they showed...
Yeah, we went from Dragon Age and kind of like, huh.
Because we finally played the 360 version.
Yeah, and it just felt derivative and repetitive and ugly and old, and I don't know. But then we go to Mass Effect 2, which...
All is new again.
And as much as I love the first one, the new one looked even better. Like, visually, they kept all that atmosphere, music, voice acting, all that stuff. Just, it feels fucking tight as hell. Like, they're really taking their time. But the gameplay stuff is it's largely the same kind of game. Like, now you can give individual commands to the two people with you. Like, hey, you go forward, you stay here.
It seemed a little faster, and he crawled on top of structure.
Yeah, you could hop over things easier this time. But the basic thing for Mass Effect 2 is, like, it's supposed to be the Empire Strikes Back equivalent.
Mm-hmm.
It's the middle chapter. It's intentionally dark, grim, gritty.
And it's more cinematic.
Cinematic.
Not just that third-person, over-the-shoulder shot, reverse shot for every scene.
Yeah, the dialogue scenes, which were... As any BioWare game, dialogue and talking, huge chunk of the game. So while you're talking in Mass Effect 2, in the first game, dialogue was like, here's Shepard looking at you.
What do you want? Fuck you. Well, I think you're an asshole. And the person just sits there and moves like they normally would.
Yeah, it's just very two rigid statues talking at each other.
We are enemies now, and they don't even move their
arms. Yeah,
Movement reflects.
A scene unfolds as you select the dialogue. People are walking around, talking, the camera moves and pans. It's basically like controlling a cutscene. Not controlling the cutscene, but finally, it doesn't slow down to tell the story. It keeps you, it keeps moving. It didn't feel as jilted, and the pacing doesn't, it is, that's, the pacing is better. It doesn't seem as RPG-y at times.
I don't know if they told anybody else this, port over your save from Mass Effect 1 and keep that style of character.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, all of your, all of the changes
all
carry
of your game
over.
Data. And this will supposedly carry out into the trilogy, which only brings us to the thing we'd love to tell you. It's not that we're forbidden. It's just so, it's so fucking spoilery.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, with Mass Effect, it's optional spoilery, and it's fucked up, man. It's just, they showed it to us. It's ridiculous. I can't express this enough.
It's just a cool way they're gonna try to tell the story and try to, I don't know, I wanna say something without just teasing. Like,
yeah,
basically, the game already starts. Commander Shepard, you're supposed to be dead. That's how the game starts.
Yeah.
And the whole idea is that this might be a series where they kill the main character as part of the story. Mm. And if you die in the game, that's the story. That's how the story ends. And it will, you're on a suicide mission. The point of this game is to recruit a team that can go carry out this suicide run. You're not supposed to survive. So if the game is you're not supposed to survive and you die while executing this mission, credits. Not like
continue.
Not like the first hour of the game you die. Well, you didn't make it, but like as part of the story, it might be that team did not survive. What will Mass Effect 3 be then? Huh. Like, it was just kind of a neat idea. Like,
especially once you can start porting over saves.
Yeah, and how that will interact with your save data if you made a character. I don't know.
That seems to be like a new thing now, because I saw it in on a session for Heavy Rain, and it's very, very similar. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Brett.
I sat down on a demo for Heavy Rain today. It's very similar in that it's got four main characters. And if you die as one of them, that's it. That just ends their story, and you move on to the next one.
I like this continues and stuff like that. I've kind of ruined any kind of, I don't know, actual danger of a dead character.
Yeah.
Dead forever. And I even wonder if it'll pull that shit. Like, only other game that did it, like Steel Battalion, that like deleted your saves. It's gone.
Well, that's the thing. The guys from Quantic Dream were saying that, yeah, you know, there's no game over situation. If a character dies, and that's just the end of their part in the story. They're just dead, and the next character takes over, and you won't see that other character again. And then somebody asks, like, so what happens if all four characters die? And it's like, well, then the story ends. Then it becomes the story of four people who try to investigate the serial murderer, and they all died, and it's very depressing. But it's not just going to be like, oh, character dies, credits. There's going to be closure.
Yeah.
And it's going to make sense, but it's going to be sad.
Closure.
Pretty goddamn bad. Speaking of closure, I think we should close out this segment.
Yes.
And lead out. We got a great interview with the designer of the combat in Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah.
So we got a pretty cool interview about that. I didn't know Leonardo da Vinci. Playable.
Really?
Maybe.
No.
I don't know.
He's a character.
Maybe.
He's a character.
He's a character in the game though. So once they're in the game, they're playable. I'm just saying.
DLC.
And yes, stay tuned and listen to that and. Who makes the bad Ninja Turtles joke first, Brett or me? The answer, right now.
All right, we're here at Ubisoft at E3. Who are we talking to?
Charles Randall, combat team lead for Assassin's Creed 2.
Combat team lead.
Yeah.
I love the combat in Assassin's Creed 1. I love the blocking system and what is that called? Just the timed maneuver where you can turn the counters.
Counter kills.
Jesus, I've done a lot of these today. Counter kills. What counter do we kills. expect as far as counter kills?
Oh, more.
More?
More brutal.
More brutal.
And on top of that, you can disarm enemies, take their weapons away from them, kill them with it, which is really fun. Well, we got four new weapon types, four major weapon types, and then a lot of variety of individual weapons. So, we have weapons like a two-handed axe and a spear, and they're really powerful. So if you can take it away from one enemy, maybe you're fighting a strong enemy. Because enemies can actually defend against your counters this time around. So if you're fighting someone who's too strong, you can't counter him normally because he's defending. Maybe you'll take one of the big weapons and kill him with that, which gives you an instant kill. But then it gets stuck in their body, and you sort of let it go, and then you're unarmed again. Right. You got to take another weapon from someone else.
So, tell us a little bit about what you're showing off today.
We're showing a demo, specifically, it's the demo that was on the Sony stage, so maybe we mix it up a little bit here and there.
And this is, we were debating, is it Florence or Venice?
It's Venice.
Venice. Told it's Michael.
Venice. Yeah. It's Venice. Florence is one of the accessible cities in the game, too, though. So
I always complimented Assassin's Creed on how lifelike and vibrant the cities were. And I don't know what's going on here. I guess because it's shown during a party and there's fireworks. Yeah. And I guess there's more lighting. This looks way more lifelike.
The engine got a really big upgrade in terms of lighting and stuff like that. We have dynamic lights right now, a dynamic day-night cycle, which affects how everything looks. And we actually rewrote the AI for Assassin's Creed 2 as well. So the entire AI system is different, which gives us more power for doing more of the things we want to do and quickly iterating new systems.
I'm watching Ezio. What's his name? Ezio?
Yeah, Ezio.
Ezio knocking people over in a crowded Renaissance party.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
how does at the end of the demonstration we saw Altair fire gun?
Yes,
out of his magic sleeves. I'm assuming that again. I didn't play the first one as we just discussed, but I'm assuming there were not guns. No,
there were no guns.
There were no.
No.
Okay, so I assume
there were guns, but they were known as hand cannons, and they were literally. If you hit the Wikipedia page for hand cannon, it's literally a small cannon that people held. Anyways, but we like playing with the time period, and Leonardo da Vinci is one of your allies, and he was a well-known adventurer.
I think he's public domain at this point.
Oh, that's where he got his flying apparatus.
Yes, Leonardo da Vinci delivered the flying machine to him.
Is that constant throughout the game, or is this like
the flying machine?
Yeah, is he like the Resident Evil 4, what you buying? He's just, I've got a wacky new invention.
No, I think he's a little more integrated into the storyline. But as for the flying machine.
Do you have any other Ninja Turtles in the game?
Ninja Turtles.
Speaking of, sorry, Ubi, I thought it was crossover. Bad joke.
Well, no, Ubi has a Ninja Turtles game too. So.
Oh, you should see my ridiculous picture with one. Too happy.
There's got four Ninja Turtles standing out there. It's pretty cool.
But, shit, what was I going to ask?
I was going to ask, they mentioned in the Ubi press conference yesterday that they were going to make. It sounded to me like they were going to use the assets of Assassin's Creed 2 to make films about Assassin's Creed 2.
Yeah, they're showing them on the side.
Something like that. Actually, that's stuff that happens at a higher level than me.
Oh, gotcha.
So I'm really in the development floor. So, I heard that too. I was watching the press conference. Like, that's cool.
It sounded...
Films for Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
Hey, why not? And what I noticed is that it's pretty much been revealed in the first game that this is what you're... It's not as simple as traveling back in time, but revisiting DNA.
Genetic memories.
Genetic memories. And I saw the way you played with the level design. Like, this is clearly like a facsimile within some other, lack of a better word, matrix. And is the level design going to play with that more? Things are going to pop and glitches in the matrix, anything like that?
Well, I mean, we had some of that stuff in the first game, and it's really liberating for game design to be able to have this fiction around the level to explain things that happen.
I just saw like a street exterior develop around Ezio.
Oh, that's the white room transition.
Yeah.
The white room in Assassin's Creed 1 was just a fade to white and back. Now our effects guys are crazy on this team.
It looked nuts.
And the entire world actually deconstructs until it's just a white room. And then you see it construct again in slow motion. It blew me away the first time I saw it.
One of the things they saw was Altair jump off a roof into a thing of hay, and then the AI came over and like inspected it. He reached out, grabbed the guy, and pulled him in. He mentioned something that there was a unique twist to that wasn't in the first game.
Yeah, hiding spots in the first game, you can pretty much just sit in them forever and no one cared. But some guards this time will actually randomly check hiding spots.
Okay.
We have different guard types who. Go out of their way to really search for the player. And we have a notoriety system as well. So the more you do in the game world, the more people you kill, the more missions you do for these people or those people, you'll become notorious. And that means that guards will actually be able to recognize you on sight. And from that, it changes the gameplay up. After that, you can actually do missions to lower your notoriety, such as ripping down wanted posters and stuff like that. So the player can sort of customize his own experience. If you want to be the badass that kills everyone, well, there's consequences to that.
Right.
But if you like the difficulty level it provides, well, you can leave it that way.
So as the combat designer, what's your favorite part you got going on right now?
Killing stuff.
Killing stuff.
Killing stuff.
Through what method?
Pointy and sharp
things.
Pointy,
no poisoning. Just the Renaissance.
Was there poison in the Renaissance?
I do not know.
I'm sure
someone was poisoned.
A lot of disposed kings. What's your favorite aspect of the combat that you're the most proud of?
Well,
give
really,
me something.
It's hard because, I mean, I've redesigned the whole system with help of a few people. Alex Drouin, he's actually the director of animation at UB Montreal for this game. And
cool.
And he's also got a really good design head. So the two of us really sat down and rebuilt the combat system from scratch and said, what do we want it to be this time? And really what we wanted it to be was the system from Assassin's Creed 1 with even more. And so we worked that way. And then after we did the first pass, I took over the whole thing. I've been working since then with my own animator, Mike Manillo, who's around here somewhere. And, I mean, really, we just brainstorm crazy ideas of how to kill people.
What's your favorite kill thus far?
Really, my favorite is you can stab a guy with a spear and then sort of lift them up on the spear and sort of toss him away and he falls back. And the spear pokes into the ground, and then he slowly slides down.
Like a flagpole.
Yeah.
I really liked in the demo the dual hand.
Yes.
The wrist blades just pop two guys in the face at once. That got a big reaction from the crowd of just, oh.
I can't tell you how much I like the Assassin's Creed first one. I have the achievements to prove it. I believe it's the most achievements I've gotten. Everything but the flags. What's the new flags?
I'm not sure, honestly.
Old flags?
I'm not sure.
What date are we looking at? What day is it coming out?
It's holidays this year.
Holiday this year.
So you'll be able to play it for Christmas.
That's awesome.
Cool.
Thanks a lot, Charles.
No problem.
Back. Assassin's Creed 2. I think, Michael, we're Assassin's Creed fan. Excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a sequel I don't want to be excited about, but I have to be. BioShock 2.
You don't want to be excited
about
it?
I think it's a stupid idea. I think it's fucking shameless, and it's cruel, and it's rude. And
regardless of Chris's irrational biases.
Irrational biases. It was like, it told one story. It didn't need a sequel, and it didn't need even more? Multiplayer.
You don't even realize I just made an unintentional pun about the developer.
What? Okay.
That's the real developer. Anyway, we saw BioShock 2 multiplayer demoed, and it's actually kind of cool the way it handles it.
I was really surprised by how much story they tried to wrap around it.
Yeah, it does have a storyline in that you're like a contractor for what was it?
Sinclair Industries.
Sinclair Solutions.
Sinclair Solutions.
Yeah. Huh? The oil people?
Yeah, I think they make weapons.
Okay.
In the game, but yeah, the whole thing is that they're downplaying the existence of the Civil War and they're just saying, we're so pleased you've agreed to field test our new devices." And
did you mention it takes place a year before the first game?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't mention.
Okay.
But yeah, it takes place during the Civil War that destroys Rapture, basically. And you play as a splicer, and you just go out and shoot it out with other splicers in familiar arenas. We saw Kashmir, which was the restaurant with all the Happy New Year stuff in the first game. And
what a map.
Yeah.
Restaurant.
a flat restaurant.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A multiplayer, I don't understand.
And, but like, they have this thing where it's like, before you go into battles, you have like an apartment you can walk around in and you pick up audio recordings. And, depending on how well you do, you get access to new plasmids and weapons, and things like that. You take a bathysphere down to the battle.
Ooh,
and, they also have a mode, where like one player is the big daddy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's standard VIP stuff. And then whoever manages to bring down the big daddy will respawn as the big daddy.
Oh, thank you. Had a minor cut out there. Joseph, what do you think?
There was also some cool stuff like you could, they had turrets, you know, you could hack the turrets and, turn those to your advantage. Right. It's just like a timer. Like you have to like spend the amount of time on the timer hacking it.
You watch your hands turn a wrench.
And then, you know, like they used it to great effect.
What do you do to hack stuff?
You just go up to it and press A and then a timer runs.
So you just,
just have to sit there for, it doesn't run for a long time. But it's long enough that somebody could come up and shoot your ass off it.
Oh, okay.
If there was a firefight going on. So then, you know, they have the missile turrets and the machine gun turrets. And, they actually used one of the missile pods to bring down one of the big daddies. Because you're so much more armored. You're so much more powerful than the other players when you're in the big daddy suit that, you really need that kind of extra help to bring him down. And then they had a mode where you'd kill the big daddy and then the suit would respawn somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody would go grab it and, And then they're the big bad.
I don't mind this in that situation, because there was canon that there was a civil war. So if they were going to make multiplayer, setting it here doesn't seem...
And it was crazy the way they showed it, too, because they were just like, and here's your apartment. And, here, and we're like, what? Is this fucking home?
Still works
like,
there and isn't involved.
Because he's making probably...
He didn't want to be...
I don't know. I thought...
Because he agrees with you.
Joe's here, and he talks about it all the time. I talk about game as art. I thought Bioshock reached that kind of level. It was more important than killing splicers.
Well, he told the story he wanted to tell, and now it's in the hands of other people. I want to make sequels and money.
I know that. So that's... Yes. Capitalism says that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I don't want to diluting what I liked about Bioshock 1.
I think the thing, just because the first game was a complete story, doesn't mean that any other stories can't be.
I agree. Again, I said, but shit like this happens. You mentioned the word Star Wars now. People are like, yeah, Star Wars, I know, great. Because the fucking prequels ruined everything that was great about the first three.
But they had two good sequels, right? So that's not to say that.
I'm just talking about episodes 1 and 2.
I'm just saying, yeah, I'm just...
No. Episode 1 in Ewok.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The Christmas special?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
See, all that stuff. While we have Mike...
No, I mean, Empire was mentioned earlier, right?
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
we're not talking about...
I mean, not that I'm saying that Bioshock 2 is going to be, like...
Well, we're not talking about Empire...
Empire Strikes Back quality.
We're not talking
of a
about
sequel,
Empire and
but...
Jedi. We're talking about the three prequel movies ruined the old trilogy.
I didn't get my point across, so we're going to move the fuck on.
Yeah. Speaking of multiplayer, Borderlands.
Okay, we can go.
Woo!
Yeah, Borderlands.
Oh, the co-op is
like,
amazing.
It's like Fallout 3 with 4-player co-op.
But all like cel-shaded and Crackdown looking.
What you were describing earlier, like all the guns in the game?
Yes, I was about to get to that. There's like 500,000 guns at least in the game, and we were the session was being led by Randy Pitchford, and he was like, there could be 1,000,000 guns in the game. I don't know. I haven't seen any of it. Like during the demo, he was like, I've never seen this gun right here. Because what it is that they put in, like, a bunch of materials and components, and then manufacturers that have preferences for certain materials. Like, one likes to use wood stocks, and then another one likes to use titanium, and another uses plastic. Anyway, so you'll find these weapons dropped as loot, and they're randomly generated by the game.
That's kind of
cool. And they all look totally different, too. It's not like... It's not like just their functions vary, whatever, but like it actually looks different too. And so this one that we saw, it was a sniper rifle that had like a rotating revolver chambers for the bullets, and it fired shotgun shells that were incendiary.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was just ridiculous.
I have to see that in action.
And we saw another one that was like a shotgun that fired electrical rounds. And,
oh,
like,
that was so good.
It walked up to this guy, just started unloading on him, and like the first couple, like, you know, just blood and mild electric shocks. And then the one that killed him, just like there was suddenly this lightning bolt that came down and hit his head. And like it was like a cartoon or something where it exposes the skull and you just see it through the flashing, and then like his eyes fly out of his head.
Or like headshots with the incendiary rounds cause their head to just burst into flame and melt off.
Away.
It's just like ridiculously
and like
gory.
Standing there
and
just sort of pawing at the air above their neck stump.
He also mentioned they had acid rounds, but we didn't actually see any of those.
No, I don't think we did.
Speaking of violence, you also saw God of War.
I did. Mm-hmm. I played God of War.
You played God of War.
Yes,
finally.
Been waiting for that since February.
Hold on.
God damn. So where were we?
I played God of War.
I played God of War. And it was the exact same thing I saw back then, except
you played it.
Yeah, I played it, and it's exactly what I wanted out of it. It's more of the same, but much prettier, and there's lots of cool new shit to do. And Kratos has this new thing called the Cestus, which is like. You've probably seen them, they're like these lion-headed gauntlets. And what they can do is the gauntlets, you can punch guys with them, or they detach on chains, and then you can use them as like swinging wrecking balls.
Oh.
But, it's really fucking bloody, and, you know.
Lovely menagerie of creatures for you to massacre.
There's a wonderful minigame where Kratos tears Helios' head off, and then uses his lantern. Screams whenever he whips it out, and he keeps it in his pants.
So much like my dreams, it's scary.
I know.
God of War. Any multiplayer in God of War?
No.
Why is that?
Because it's God of War.
There cannot be more than one Kratos.
But there's
That's just ridiculous on its face.
You can move on. But, here, we'll briefly get into this because you saw some nice deal, or, excuse me, Star Wars Tor.
Yeah, deal. Star Wars Tor Johnson's of the Old Republic. yeah, I did get to see that, and it surprised me how cool it was, because the guy was like, you know, a lot of people have asked, like, oh, why'd you do this, and why didn't you just do Knights of the Old Republic 3? And it's like, well, this is Knights of the Old Republic 3, and 4, and 5, and 6, and a bunch of others, and that what it is, depending on the class that you pick, it will actually follow a coherent storyline, and, but it's a little bit different for each of the players, and depending on the decisions you make. But it's fully voiced, which is unusual for an MMO. Mm. You can play it just by yourself.
Hey, I'm in now.
Ignore other people if you want to.
Oh,
and it has the Knights of the Old Republic / Mass Effect style conversations where you walk up to a guy like the one that they showed. You're working for the Sith, and you're sent by a Grand Moff to kill this captain who disobeyed a direct order, and you get to decide whether you want to kill him or, you know, let him live, and if you let him live, then this battle that he's being ordered into will be a lot easier because he'll be able to do stuff
okay.
for you.
Okay, but, okay, okay.
Yeah.
We're trying to make this quick. Before.
But it's cool.
It is cool. Before we go to break, Brett,
I hate
and, I,
MMOs.
Brett and I talked to Chris Foster. is it Chris Foster? You have the text up?
I can't get on. I'm not online.
Hello, internet.
You write it?
I wrote it.
Yeah, we have. Whatever. We have the lead designer of a Rock Band. I don't know. Was it all of them?
He joined Harmonix a few years ago, uh-huh. So he's been around, I think, since Guitar Hero 2. But for right now, all intents and purposes,
lead designer of Beatles Rock Band.
The Beatles Rock Band, yeah,
which we played and fun. Picture on page.
The game is really fun. We've got pictures in the E3 photo diary. We've got pictures on our Twitter feed, and this guy knows his Beatles shit, and I don't know anything. So we kind of ambushed him to expose my ignorance and make fun of me.
Yeah, Dan Amrick's here for the whole ride. Helped out, makes fun of Brett, along with the lead designer of Rock Band, which is. Pretty cool when you take a step back and even think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Be back in a sec.
Who are we here sitting with? Chris Foster.
Yeah, hi. Hello.
Hi.
Are we on now?
Yeah, we're on.
Yes. Hi, hilarious. yeah, I'm Chris Foster. I'm the lead designer for the Beatles Rock Band. I'm with Harmonix Music Systems and MTV Games.
Nice.
Excellent.
Nice. And we're also with Dan Amrick joining us, our music expert.
Biggest Beatles fan because in the office, probably.
Why is that, like, when the game gets announced, everybody in the office goes apeshit, except for this man, who doesn't know anything about the Beatles. He can't name you all four members.
And I'm not feigning ignorance for the sake of, like, teehee.
He says, no. Like, in the
He's
Midwest.
Legitimately ignorant.
And yeah.
Something to be proud of. Hold to that.
I'm not proud of it because everyone else is in on it but me. But even as someone who, I love Rock Band, like specifically Harmonix, like I was into Frequency Amplitude, Guitar Hero 1 and 2, then I jumped ship for Rock Band 2. So looking at this and not knowing anything about the Beatles, it's still engaging. I love the visuals. Like, I know it means something extra to these guys.
I asked him, like, Brett, what'd you think? He's like, I guess that's a good song. I don't know what to say.
But just the presentation of it was enough to make me go, oh, I normally wouldn't have cared because it's a band I don't know. But
true.
Just visually, it's enough to draw me in.
To me, the way I think about it is that the Beatles music is kind of like the air we breathe. It's just this thing that's there, and it's very easy to take it for granted. But yet, it's the foundation of so much music now.
Right.
It's incredibly, it's just amazing music. And I think one thing that I like about Rock Band in general is that you get to hear each instrument separately.
Right.
You get to understand the composition of a song. And I think even people... you know, who have actually, you know, heard a Beatles song, say, or like the music, they're going to get new insights, a new sort of appreciation, and new emotions, I think, from participating in these.
I think the greatest coup you did with that is the multiple vocal tracks, which leads to an even more of a party situation, because all the women I know don't want to jump in and start playing a plastic instrument, but they love to get on the mic and harmonize. Sorry, I tried it last weekend with a bunch of Swedish girls who treated me like a jerk.
Really? Are you gonna blame the game for that?
I'm gonna blame
Sweden.
My lack of cleanliness. So when eventually we have like a spilled Coke all over like an ancient Guitar Hero guitar. But the multiple microphones.
Yeah.
Is a good. I for some reason I didn't know about that.
Yeah. No. It's new, and I think it lets up to six people play together, and people who want a real challenge can sing and play at the same time, and finding the harmony parts while playing, you know, like a really good instrument, or like a Ringo's drums. Like, the thing that blows me away that, like, there were songs, you know, that Ringo's played where, like, he would record drums and sing live, like, the whole thing, one take, bam. It's like, he's singing pretty well. Yeah. He's drumming really well. And they just did the song. It's like, really? Yeah. Like, that's incredible. And so you can have some of that experience by playing, you know, playing like instrument and singing simultaneously. And then
never had any luck.
It's funny because I formed a band after Gumdown Harmonics. Like, it's just a small nerdy thing called Spec. And, we got to play at the Rock Band 2 launch party. I got to play like a 4-song set. And I'd never performed live before. Guitar. So I actually went into Rock Band with a mic stand and like whatever songs and played like, you know, hard or expert guitar while singing.
How are you going about adding the 2 extra microphones? How does that work?
You just plug them in. Like, it's
you need another works. Splitter or?
Well, I mean, if all your other instruments are wireless, there are 3 ports
true.
On an Xbox. Beyond that, and then, yeah, a hub can also work as well if you want them to be more conveniently located.
Obviously, you're talking to someone without wireless instruments. Yeah. I need to amend that. But what we wanted to do, we wanted to hit him with incredibly cushy and easy Beatles trivia so he'll intentionally get it wrong.
The easiest thing you can think of about the Beatles.
Do you have the questions?
I have a few, and if you have any, the chat.
And like, I will be honest. I'm not here to make a spectacle.
I'm going to start super easy. What country are the Beatles from?
The UK?
I get, alright, yes, ding.
We'll take that.
I can't get any more close than that.
Okay, all like, right. When everybody was losing their mind and all the girls were screaming and yelling, it was such a cultural phenomenon that you were completely ignorant of. What was the nickname they gave to that cultural phenomenon when the Beatles were a really big, like, pop boy band? What did they call that?
Aside from me missing it because I wasn't born yet.
Yes, but everyone's heard this.
What's the Beatle phenomena called?
Beatlemania?
Yeah, oh my god, you got it right by accident. Wow. All right, excellent.
I just put 2 words together.
Brett, what Beatles album featured a solid white color?
On the cover.
Oh, that's a trick question.
What? No, it's not.
Oh, White Album.
But it was actually called The Beatles, thank you very much.
That's true. What? He's correct. Right. Yeah, he's correct.
I didn't hear it.
Colloquially The White Album, but it's called The Beatles.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
It is.
Okay, name me.
You're trying to lead him astray. He's trying to set up life.
This is a witch hunt.
There are 5 Beatles movies. Name any one of them.
Hard Day's Night.
Name a second one, then. Because that one's on the wall right over there.
Oh, you're right. I know that. Because there's a store named that, isn't there?
Oh, God.
Chris, can you hit him with something?
What?
Hit him with a trivia question?
You guys seem to be doing pretty good. This is a hard one.
Oh, wow.
Name any Beatle that's not John, Paul, George, or Ringo.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Come on, Austin. Aren't those the 4? I thought they were just 4.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Oh, Dan.
No, go ahead.
Dan, what is it?
I would say George
Martin. Is it me? Is it the audience? I don't know what that
possibly
means.
Possibly Murray the K, if you want to get...
Well, what about Pete Best?
I'd even accept
Billy Preston in there.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Who wrote most of the songs? 2 of the Beatles wrote the majority of the songs. Which 2 Beatles wrote
I'm gonna
most of the
songs? I'm going to guess Lennon and McCartney.
Oh, my God. He got
very
another
nice.
One
very
right.
Nice.
Is that the names?
But
everyone
I think you
knows.
Get most of these right, because this is kind of common knowledge, whether you... experience it or not, so it's the
right,
fucking Beatles.
All right, here we go. I got 5 fill-in-the-blank song titles.
Oh, great.
All right? And they're dead fucking easy, all right?
All right.
Blank Submarine.
Yellow.
Okay. Magical Mystery Blank.
I have no idea.
Do you really have no idea?
I have no idea. Carpet Ride?
No. Got to Get You Into My Blank. I feel like Gene Rayburn.
Yeah, no, I got one. I Want to Blank Your Hand.
Hold.
There you go.
I like it when they sound vulgar.
Yeah.
Potentially vulgar. Got to Get You Into My...
car.
No, it's not fucking Billy Ocean.
It's not Gary Glitter.
Dreams. A Day in the Blank.
A Day in the Life?
Yes! Oh, yeah, my God, you got the blank.
Good. That's a phrase.
Good Morning, Good Blank.
Night?
No.
Vietnam?
No. Hint... I said it already.
Good luck.
Yes. Good riddance.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, good morning. It's actually called good morning, good morning.
Oh, wow, okay.
Oh, we got to close this up. All right.
I got one last one.
Oh, yeah.
I saw her blank there.
I'm going to guess standing.
Very nice.
All right.
You, very tasteful,
I'm
too.
I'm very glad you didn't say shitting.
You were on the road to recovery.
You did, so,
I did.
You know,
and yet you did.
This trip was not necessary.
This is what our listeners expect. I didn't preface it like that. But what's your favorite song, you think, in the game so far?
I can talk about. Thanks. Octopus's Garden, strangely, like for me, is
really
just such a joyful song.
Yeah.
The harmonies are really incredible. To play the guitar part is rocking. The drums are really fun.
Yeah.
Bass is one of the easier parts. And some of the bass lines in this game are really amazing. They're pretty intense. But it's just a joyful song.
And
really
even knowing nothing about them, as we've illustrated, I still, the demo that we just went, that we sat through in there, was cool just to see how much effort to recreate the band's history on each of the levels and like how Octopus Garden had its own underwater. See, that's just really cool. Like,
it's creepy accurate.
To go to that level was really cool. Even if I didn't
actually perform that song submerged underwater.
Yeah, that's really okay. Yeah. I did know that.
All the guitars are
very pruny and wrinkled after that.
All the guitars in the game are exactly right. Because you know I'm sweating those kind of details. I'm stunned. It's like once first time John plays the Rick 325, it's in natural, not in black, and it wasn't black for like another year. He had to repaint it. I mean, it's all that kind of nerdy Beatles crap that you're never even going to know. You're like, oh, it's good that he's holding a guitar because I think John was a guitarist. But for somebody who appreciates it, it's like, it's transcendent. It's crazy.
But just to prove, even if you don't like the Beatles, there's a lot to do.
And when you get to play through the story, which we're keeping like one of the last secrets of the game, we're not talking about E3, I think you're going to find a lot about the Beatles. You're going to learn a lot, get a sense of who they were and what they went through and why they're so important, which I think everyone kind of at this point gets. Like, unless you want to take a total hipster pose, like, oh, whatever.
Right.
But we're trying to, like, you know, not only make it the music, but, yeah, their whole story.
Are you hoping, like, that Rock Band already has been a huge success? Are you – I mean, in my mind, I just assume that this should be the biggest one ever. Is that kind of what you have going into this, that this should just destroy the past?
To be perfectly honest, all I've really worried about is making the best Beatles game possible.
Right.
And, like, yes, the Beatles are huge. And it's going to bring a lot of new people to the table that are going to be kicking their kids and grandkids out of the way to play on their consoles or to get to buy their own consoles. But I think people are going to love it. But what's most important is that we do right by the music and by the band.
Right.
And that I feel like we really succeeded.
My dad hates games, rhythm games. You had him with Bob Dylan. This is going to send him over the top.
Nice.
So I can't wait. When can we expect some more Beatles news?
I don't know. I mean, I imagine there's going to be more reveals between now and when the game launches on 9/9/09, September 9, 2009. But yeah, beyond that, I think it's still, there's secrets and mysteries.
Okay.
I did want to ask one question.
Close it out, Elson.
Looking at right behind us, there's a huge Rock Band set list that looks like a 700 songs
700.
On it. And the singing is very evocative of karaoke. And I really like the idea. You know when you go sing karaoke, there's that book, and every song has a number code, and you can just stack songs as you go.
Yeah.
I really think it would be cool if Rock Band had that feature where you didn't have to pull back out, like maybe mid-song. If you have a bunch of friends over, like in the instruction manual, every song has a code or online or something, and just with a controlled and a little window down to the side.
You know, there's a lot. One of the things we do think about is like as the library, where 700 songs and counting, and it's only going to get bigger.
Right.
And finding ways for people to navigate those very deep waters of songs and queue up songs. It's something that we think about a lot. As it gets bigger, we want to like just keep revisiting that, make it really intuitive and easy to deal with.
I really want to stress, I love having them all in one place on a hard drive. And are their Lego and Beatles going to cross-pollinate with the other rock bands?
I'm actually not familiar with what the plan is for Lego. I can say for Beatles. Beatles, at the moment, is its own sort of entity with its own music. And with things like, you know, the Dreamscapes and particularly the vocal harmonies, it's different gameplay.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really port over directly.
Sure. So I wouldn't be able to take my... When Rock Band 3 comes out or Rock Band Leonard Skinner, I'm not going to be able to port my Beatles song into them?
Well, all I can really say is that this is definitely a special case for us.
Okay.
Like, they're not, you know, there are a handful of bands that, you know, might sort of be worthy of this sort of treatment.
You've got the band.
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, if anyone can support a game that's really all about them, it's the Beatles.
So I really appreciate the treatment you've given compared to other rhythm games that are doing by-the-number stuff that makes me mad. Rock Band has been a great experience for me.
It's important for us to, I mean... our whole thing is about giving people sort of the joy of making and performing music, and really like respecting and giving a great treatment of that music. Like, it's about the music, you know. We're playing this game, but it's really, it's about the songs. It's about the people doing this, and to do them justice is just, that's our goal.
Yeah.
What would be the next band on the ticker down that you would find?
Rock what, band. What is called? Your ideal band?
It'd have to be the Monkees, obviously.
Monkees?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That'd be so awesome.
The what? I didn't hear it.
The Monkees.
Oh, the Monkees. That's amazing.
Oh, is that the band you don't know? It's like, well,
no,
everyone
I know
has a band they don't know.
Davey?
Pisces, Aquarius, Davey? Capricorn, and blank.
All right, all right.
Okay, never mind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all right, well, you're nervous. Right.
Chris, thanks. We said we'd pull you away for 5 minutes. It's been 15.
So. It's been very fun.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
When does Rock Band 2 come out? Rock Band Beatles come out?
9909.
9909. Yay.
Oh, yeah. Interviews are
Fred doesn't know anything about
we're gonna
the Beatles.
We're going to wrap this up in a little bit. Joseph, you saw Final Fantasy XIII.
Woo!
Which is, I think that makes Joseph the only non-Japanese person to see this game ever. I got my heart set on 14.
Oh, yeah. I thought you hated playing with others, Chris.
I do. I was kidding. 14.
Okay.
14.
There's no single player mode in that.
Again.
It's 11-2.
That's the only reason it was announced.
What 14 looks like is 5 years until I'm interested in the Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So they showed us.
14 looks like is buying time.
Yeah.
So they showed us a tiny, tiny little bit of 13. It basically got in two encounters. That was pretty much it. The one thing though that they did show us that was a little bit interesting was they had Snow. The saucy protagonist guy, he summoned up his Aeon.
Courage?
His Aeon. Shiva.
Shiva.
Right? The
Shiva,
twin.
Shiva the employer.
The twin ladies.
Uh huh.
And they're helping him out with the fight and everything. It's all going along nice and well. And then they kicked in, this new,
summoning kind
this
of.
This new, gosh.
It's a new mode called Gestalt.
Gestalt.
Thank you, sir. Gestalt mode. So what happens in Gestalt mode, at least for Shiva, is that they sort of jump into the air, spin around, and merge into a blue Tron-like motorcycle, which Snow then jumps on. And then as the player, you control Snow on the motorcycle in real time. You drive up and fucking do donuts on the monster's face. And, like, it's bizarre. It's really bizarre. So I don't know how this is going to play out. Apparently they're not all like mecha transformations,
right.
but they will have Gestalt modes. All the Aeons.
So Gestalt is just kind of like you're interacting with the summon.
Right. But it's also that your Aeon like transforms into sort of a higher level where you can
based on the footage we saw in the press conference of the Microsoft one, the summoning looked like a mix of 10 and 12. In 10, you summoned the monster and became it, and you had a list of commands. Mm-hmm. And in 12, you summoned it, and it just did things with you.
Yeah.
So this kind of looked in between. Because prior to that, the summoning was just a big cutscene that unfolded, and then you watched it. So now it looks kind of somewhere in between there. What else do we see?
They had some kind of debug mode on. They skipped the actual summon animation.
Right.
So we didn't get to see any of that.
2010,
but,
maybe.
Yeah.
2010, maybe. What else do you see? Michael saw a certain man.
Certain man?
Yeah.
We'll have to elaborate.
A Batman?
Oh, a Batman.
There you go.
Yeah, I actually played Arkham Asylum PS3. I played both as Batman and as the Joker. The Joker stuff that they had on display was just like a challenge mode where he's just like fighting off a progressively larger number of cops. And the combat was really cool. It was a lot like Assassin's Creed, actually, where it's very dependent on counters.
Uh-huh.
And when you get the hang of it, it looks really pretty to watch. It's just like this very fluid thing of Joker or Batman just continually, flowing between enemies, and somebody tries to attack and he just deflects it and punches them in the face.
And with, I just keep forgetting to mention it, with Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill, the voices from the Batman animated series.
Which we went through in our interview yesterday on the first Talk Radar E3 special, there might be a link to that on the page.
It's better than three Batman
combined.
Yeah.
And the action as Batman is really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of grappling, and he's got like detective view where you can see
like where all the enemies are through walls.
Oh, that's gonna make Lucius Fox
quit. You can see
their
skeletons. You can see little clues and things. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's gonna have to dismantle it.
That is. I don't like that.
Well,
here's my resignation.
I think it's unethical.
You keep using that game mechanic, I'm gonna have.
All right. What else? What else was there?
Did I see anything? I'm gonna see Tony Hawk Ride. God damn it! I waited in line, but I had an appointment I had to be at.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get down on some Tony Hawk Ride. Believe you me. Van Halen Guitar Hero Reality. I didn't hear. Haven't really seen anything official on that.
It's on display at their booth. The rumor, not rumor, but just right now, everyone's noticing there's no Sammy Hagar. Right. So if you like Van Halen, that means something to you. They're showing
it better because like the
Sammy Hagar is Van Halen. What the fuck?
And
he was for many years, but David Lee Roth was Van Halen before him.
Hagar, did he spend more time with Van Halen? Who cares?
Yeah.
The funny thing is, you're gonna have to like Van Halen because I said they're playing the trailer and they're like 35 songs. I'm like, that's way too few songs for a, it was more than that. I'm like, that's way too few songs for a game.
Right.
Three Eddie Van Halen solos. Like, who advertised three? That's like 10 minutes of gameplay. Three Eddie Van Halen solos.
Well, no, that's what he's known for, so.
But three. It might have been exclusive.
It should have been, yeah, who knows.
Might have been exclusive. That's stupid of me to have railed on it. What else? There was something else.
I saw Supreme Commander 2. Yeah! Supreme go Commander RTS! No, it actually looks really good if you like RTSs. I'm not an RTS guy, so I may not have been the best guy to see that game, but it looked beautiful. Chris Taylor from Gas Powered Games did the demo, and he's a great guy. He's always
the guy
fun.
Behind, Supreme Commander. Should have said Supreme Commander 1.
Yeah. So, I mean, the graphics look gorgeous. They've done a lot of great stuff. He made a point of saying they're trying to make it run on regular everyday systems. They're not trying to build something that's only going to run on the top 1% of PCs.
Oh, and the problem with that last game is that, you needed a very large and wide monitor.
Hmm.
I hope so. Someone asked that question. My roommate was extremely pissed. He got it. Couldn't wait to see it. It didn't really work on his monitor.
Weird.
Just saying.
he made a point of saying that they were doing the demo on a 2-year-old PC, and it looked fabulous.
Is it PC only, or it's 360 also?
Yes, it's also coming to 360. And you know, it's funny, because he didn't even mention it, and it just kind of came up at the end of the demo on the screen. It said Xbox Live. I said, hey man, what's up with that Xbox Live? Are you doing this for 362? They're trying to get it out day and date with the PC. Mm. But of course, you know, dealing with the controller is always an issue with doing RTSs on a console, and they're trying to get that sorted out because they want it to be good.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people have conquered that barrier. Zero.
Halo Wars,
yeah. Maybe.
And I guess real quick before we all wrap,
let's get the hell out of here.
Before we're done, Chris, you played New Super Mario Brothers Wii.
I did, and I
brief summarization.
It's incredibly ugly. I love the game.
It's not ugly, it's just...
Sorry, it's really ugly, I think. For a game on a console, on a television, really ugly.
I couldn't call it ugly.
The graphics are updated. I guess it might just be the character models. It's fun. The thing I hated about it, Mario gets hit, we all know this, gets hit by something, shrinks.
Right.
Everything on the screen pauses. In every Mario game, you get hit by something. So you can hear the sound.
Right.
Everything pauses. That means every player on the field pauses. Like, if you're mid-jump, and this is the Mario with wall jumps.
Right.
And wall slides. Everything pauses. You're like, what? And then it picks up again after that noise is over. I thought that was a little stupid.
That's kind of jarring, yeah.
And that all the characters, obviously, just think about New Super Mario Bros. Times 4 with 4 people on it. They all occupy a physical space. You can, like, run into one another. And I didn't like that either. And Yoshi, and you end up eating your own character, which, I believe you said that was funny, but I found it really annoying, like someone who wasn't trying to eat me eating me.
Right.
And I'm stuck in Yoshi's mouth. because we're not flying. We're all people running along one plane.
Right.
In a very small screen. But it could be very cool. We'll see. 8 to 10 stages, I think.
Yeah, I'd say eight. There were 10 on the Miyamoto demo. He showed us 10. Yeah. So.
But yeah, selectable stages. But tomorrow we're going to Valve and Bethesda and Capcom.
Oh, yeah. It's
going to
be a busy day.
Yeah. And we'll have more for you. If not tomorrow, you know, tomorrow night, we'll have something on Friday.
Yeah, Friday
we'll be on a plane tomorrow night. Yeah. Or on planes, plural.
Yeah, Friday we'll have regular podcasts. Follow the Game Trader Twitter feed. Check the site.
I just want to say one thing, one more thing about Heavy Rain before we cut out.
Perfect.
That demo set a record for the number of times I've heard the word rape uttered in a demo or a game.
Wow.
Yeah. And he played Mag too. With 250.
That's some heavy rape.
True. Raped me in the face.
Yeah. All right.
You know, I got a rape whistle from ODST.
You know what? I'm putting the podcast in the corner, Michael. We'll see you when you see it.